So my next guest is on the line. He is Jack Bloom. He's DA Shadow Health MEC in Gauteng, and we're going to be discussing the new HIV or anti-HIV jab and discuss whether, in fact, this will decrease HIV patient numbers. Jack, good afternoon. Thank you for being with us here on Chai FM, and I'm going to stick my hand up immediately and say I know nothing about this issue. Please make me smarter. What is this new anti-HIV injection, and why is it being called a game changer?
Well, good afternoon. Good to be with you. Look, it's a game changer because it's not a vaccine, as some people have said it is. It's not a vaccine, but all it needs to virtually 100% provide protection is a six-monthly injection. Now, the problem, and it's a preventative, you see, so before people are allowed to take it, they will have to do an HIV test to see that you're not HIV positive already. And then they inject it in your stomach, and a little minor side effects, maybe a bit of a lump or something, but it'll go away. And all you need is every 6 months to do an injection, and you've got, you know, near total prevention. And this is a game changer, provided they could get enough doses and enough people to take the doses, particularly high-risk groups, because, you know, we still get something like 50,000 people a year get infected with HIV/AIDS. And I mean, prevention is what it's all about, because it's still, you know, you can, it's not a death sentence as it was 25 years ago, but you will have to be on lifetime ARVs, and there are longer term side effects. You know, you can live a long and healthy life, in fact, on ARVs, but far, far better to prevent it in the first place. And I think they've got to be strategic, because it is a game changer. They don't have enough doses to start on a massive scale, but they're really starting in six provinces, including Gauteng, and for the high-risk groups, which will be young girls, it would be sex workers. There are certain high-risk categories, and you see, the problem is there's existing preventatives, but you've got to take it once a day, or there's an injection once every 4 months. I mean, like this one is, you know, once twice a year, but people are going to have to be rigorous that after the 6 months is up, they get the second dose. And if we get enough people to do that, we can stop HIV in its tracks, which I think is very important, because it is a, you know, people living with HIV, I think for the adult population, it's about 10%. And if you could, you know, prevent future infections, it'll take a huge strain off our health system.
I actually never realized the extent to which this was a game changer. Listening to you now, it changes absolutely everything. You're talking about one injection every 6 months as opposed to daily medication. I mean, I need to take some silly little cholesterol pill on a daily basis. I'm not an idiot. I have a university degree, and you will be astounded how many times I miss taking it. It's difficult. It's a big ask for somebody to do something every day, whereas SMS once a year saying, come in for your jab, I mean, it makes total sense to me that this is a game changer.
Yes, it actually is. But look, the challenge is they've got generics that are affordable, but we really got to ramp up. I mean, we need millions of doses. But look, you start off and gain acceptability. Look, it is a sort of, as I said, it's injected in the stomach, and in the stomach area, and it releases it slowly. So some people may have, you know, a bit of a lump there or something, but you know, according to, you know, the tests and the experience, it's not, the side effect is not onerous. But they've got to do it every 6 months. Yeah. You mustn't forget after 6 months. And I think the challenge is to get more doses. And they do reckon that, look, it's quite a long time frame of how long it takes. But I don't think we can, you know, we can't be complacent. It's still a huge public health challenge. And young girls, that's really the problem all along. It's really, you know, older men and young girls has been a vector of transmission. I mean, obviously, we would ideally like to change people's behavior. And of course, the other mechanisms that have been used, condoms, male circumcision, you know, those are important as well, because the thing is, it won't stop you getting other sexually transmitted diseases. And that's also quite an epidemic, which, you know, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia. Chlamydia is actually a big one. You know, people need to be cautious in their sexual behavior for a variety of reasons. But, you know, in terms of severity and lifelong consequences, you know, syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia can be treated, but can be cured. So it's not a cure and it's not a vaccine, but I think if we can ramp it up in sufficient scale, yes, we could start to see the end of new infections, which is which would, as I said, it's still an enormous burden on our health system. The reality is that millions of people are dependent on their daily pills, and adherence starts going down, and then they might become, you know, this is, I'm talking about already infected people. And if you want to get what they call the viral load to go down, so if people neglect to take their ARVs, they could become infectious again. So look, the risk is always there, and they're well known, the high risk groups, for whatever reason. And that's where the first doses of this 6 month injection, 6 monthly injection, need to go for. And it's started in Gauteng, to find out, you know, you'd have to inquire of your local clinic. At the moment, it's only available in the public sector. It's not available in private. But I mean, it's for the first time we have a new preventative that I think can really change things.
Jack, how's this being funded?
Well, you know, because a lot of American funding was pooled, but there are various funding mechanisms. The main thing is affordability. They had to get the generic version, and they're looking to have this in the Indian manufacturer of it. I think ideally we should have local manufacturer. And but the economics of it are plain, because, you know, if you can entirely prevent HIV, then you don't have to, people don't have to be on ARVs for the rest of their lives, which is quite a lot of money apart from anything else.
Jack, I was reading about some of the suppliers. They spoke about one of the American suppliers having a name of Gilead Technologies, and I don't know what made me look. Yes. I just thought that sounds quite a Hebrew-linked name, Gilead Technologies, and I went to AI, as one does, and asked the question, is there any linkage to Israel? And boy, oh boy, is there a linkage. There's way more than a linkage. The company, Gilead Technologies, apparently bought an Israeli company called Kite Pharma for $11.9 billion in 2017. All the technology for this particular drug lay in this Israeli entity, which dealt with their revolutionary T-cell immunotherapy technology. And all that technology actually came out of pioneering research conducted by an immunologist, Professor Zelik Eshar, at Israel's Weizmann Institute of Science. And I just wondered whether we could foresee the EFF and its buddies kind of demonstrating about, you know, don't use these drugs outside the clinics that are providing them because of the Israeli connection.
Well, as you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy about this. And of course, they'd have to change their cell phones. They'd have to forego cell phones and various other things if they had to take Israeli technology out of everything. So I think it's one of the ironies, actually, that here we have a game-changing lifesaver through Israeli technology that people should appreciate. And I think in this instance, they're really going to be doing, the big thing is generics, because it's actually cheaper. Very expensive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So We would like local manufacture, but yeah, it's sorry, I hadn't realized there was that amount of Israeli expertise involved
Apparently
in
there
developing
is.
it. But
Apparently there is. Got a question from a listener, and then we're going to leave it this afternoon. Is it actually in the stomach or just in the skin over the stomach? Because an injection directly into the stomach sounds very painful. How do you inject this substance?
yeah, from well, I haven't, actually seen it for myself, but it's in the apparently the what do they call the subcutaneous layer, I think the sort of fatty layer around the stomach. I hope I'm not getting it wrong, but no, it's not in the stomach, so it's in the sort of fat layer there, and obviously it releases the substance over a period of 6 months. So it's a slow acting application. So it's not precisely in the stomach, it's in that area. And obviously they've got to train, they've got to, you can only you can't self-administer it, put it that way. It's not
Okay,
like
no, that
popping
is
a pill.
it's not a GLP-1, boom,
And
yeah.
yeah, no, you need a qualified nurse to or doctor. And I think they obviously need to magnify the options, you see. So look, it's starting fairly small. I think figures I saw was maybe, I don't know, 30,000 to 50,000 applications. But look, it's going to spread by word of mouth because people distrust these things to start off with, as you know. And somebody will say, no, I took it, and there's no unbearable side effects, and people feel that extra measure of safety, and I think it'll take off. Well, hopefully it does, because it's still a massive scourge on our health system, and it would really be a massive mitzvah, let's put it that way, to prevent more HIV infections.
Jack Bloom, DA Shadow Health MEC for Gauteng. Thank you, as always, for joining us on Chai FM. Appreciate your input.